baptism of Declan John Ellison. But just before Jason and Shannon bring Declan to the front, think of parenting. What a scary task. As parents, we're given the responsibility for physical development of children, overseeing it, being good stewards. Social development. Emotional health. Academic schooling. This morning we focus also on spiritual development. Just as important as the academic and the social. The church has always understood the necessity for parents to make important choices for the spiritual welfare and development of children. I hear the comment, we wait till the children grow up and can make their own choices. Baloney. Did that come out good and clear? I can imagine our son being born, and we said, Sean, someday when you grow up, we're going to let you decide if you want to go to school and learn how to do math. That would have been the most stupid. We'll just sort of see if you start learning how to get along with other people. And when you grow up and decide whether you like them or not, we'll just decide. Religious development, well, that's sort of an option in life. That's what our world says, sadly. But we believe the spiritual development is the most central, key development of any human being. And among those is the choice of what we will do about spiritual development. The church has followed two traditions, talking about the church as a whole. Some have chosen this rite of dedication, in which focus is dedicating the child to God. But there has also been another practice, baptism of infants. Receiving faith and grace in the life of a child. In the Church of the Nazarene, we recognize both traditions, a very important part of the life of a family and a child. And encourage parents to think through what it means. And I've had the privilege of spending some time with Jason and Shannon as we've talked about this major step in the life of Declan. For those who choose infant baptism, we believe there's a significant moment of grace when we claim and proclaim the prevenient grace of God to cover the child from the time of birth. We believe the benefits of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are effective in the life of a person as a child until they come to the awareness of that inner prompting of God for a personal choice, an invitation to receive Jesus as Savior and make him Lord. Baptism is a symbol of the covenant that exists between God and the church. In this sacrament, we declare our belief that God has incorporated this child into his church by his grace. Oh, in our tradition, we call it prevenient grace, focusing on that grace of God in which God takes the initiative and he comes to us before we even had the idea of seeking for God. Oh, We are not determining for Declan what his choices will be later in life. Although an infant or a young child has been baptized, it is right and necessary that when that child comes to maturity, that child will need to make choices for himself or herself with a personal confession. There will be a time when Jason and Shannon will say, "Declan, when you were too young to walk, we carried you in our arms. Likewise, when you were too young to choose to be a part of the body of Christ, we chose for you. We brought you into the fellowship, and you were incorporated into the body. Now you will need to decide whether you choose for yourself that which we chose for you. We pray that you will choose it and not reject it." And so today, we celebrate that God in His grace has embraced this child in the covenant He has made with His people. We as the people of God have an obligation to nurture his growth toward maturity and a personal love for Christ. We really do believe Declan, along with all others, are children of God. And we are responsible for teaching about God's love for him and for us as we grow to maturity and accountability. Then when he is able to make that choice, he may choose Christ by personal faith and continue in that grace. So I invite you to join with us as we participate in this very sacred time. So Jason and Shannon, if you'd bring Declan, and you've invited Charity. I had to double-check my notes there, to join with you. So if you'd come here to the front, please, just turn and just face. By the way, did you see the hat that was on his head when he came in? Awesome, dude. Awesome. Jen, would you just come over here, please? Oh, thank you so much. Jason and Shannon, you bring your firstborn child this day for Christian baptism. What name do you give him today?
Declan.
Declan John Ellison. The sacrament of baptism is a sign and seal of the new covenant of God's grace. We believe that Christian baptism signifies God's acceptance of this young child and anticipates his personal confession of faith. In presenting Declan for baptism, you are also witnessing to your own faith, a personal Christian faith, and declaring your purpose to guide him early in life to a knowledge of Christ as Savior. To this end, it will be your duty to teach him the nature and end of this holy sacrament. Oh, my notes said, as soon as he is able. The truth is, you've already started doing it by bringing him into the fellowship of the church. It will be your duty to watch over his education. Lead him in paths of righteousness and justice and truth. To actively include him in the ministries of God's church for instruction in the ways of Jesus, worship, Christian fellowship. To supervise his associations with others and development of habits. And as much as in you lies, to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of God? If so, answer, I will. Charity. Wow. Jason and Shannon designating you godmother. Now, that means gifts and all that other stuff, right? And don't tell them, but it's part of your responsibility to spoil him absolutely rotten. You got it. I can tell it by the gleam in your eye. But as you do, as you take this step of standing with Shannon and Jason, will you accept their commitment and support it? Commitment to teach Declan the ways of Jesus, not only by mouth, but by modeling. Will you make that a promise to Jason and Shannon, to Declan and to God today? Oh, family, front, center. Grandma, grandpa, aunts, uncles. Big commitment by Jason and Shannon. Will you make them a promise that you're going to do everything you can to support their parenting? Encourage Declan, model for him the ways of Jesus. If so, will you just give them a big, we will?
We will.
I like that. I've asked Jen Hodge to stand, director of our nursery ministries. We expanded that nursery about a year ago. And some people said, we don't even have any infants. If you look back there, some days the walls are just... Jen, you represent children's ministries. What will you make a commitment to Jason, to Shannon, and the family? That from children's ministries, we'll do our very best. Age-appropriate ministries to help them with this commitment to teach the ways of Jesus. Will you make that a commitment, please? Oh, church family, will you make a commitment to God, to Declan, and these parents and this family to support them in the choice of Christianity they are making for Declan? If you so, you just give a big amen.
Amen.
Can you hold that for me, please? Can you come see me, dude? I really do love that hat. Maybe you'll have a good head of hair just like your dad and me someday. Declan, while you were too young to choose to be a part of the body of Christ, your parents have made a choice for you. They've already started bringing you to church where you receive Christian care and instruction. Someday you're going to need to make some choices for yourself. We pray that these early years of teaching and modeling will be real for you. That you will accept that way for yourself and confirm that baptism for yourself. Recognizing that, Declan, John, Ellison, I baptize you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Join me in prayer. Great and God, holy God, we pray for Declan, John. Awesome looking kid. Would you keep your hand on him and provide your protection that only you can give as he grows in life? May your hand be on him, his parents, charity and family and church. Help us to be faithful to you. On his behalf, in your name, we pray this. Amen. Any great looking guy? Let you go back.
Jason, share with you a certificate and a copy of the material I've presented here today. May the Lord bless both of you. You got it, man. You got it. The Lord bless you, Charity. Thank you. And you take him to where he's a little more comfortable. Thank you so much, friends. Well, parenting. Ben, I have to make a confession. I did. Actually, there was so much material that came together, and so if you want to do some prep for next week, I've been struck by the awesome stories of Solomon and Job. Two phenomenal stories of two men. Start out wealthy. One identifies faith in God. The other lose track and initiates practices that become destructive of his nation. That's next week. In the meantime, I've been continuing to grasp with content of the sermon that I preached last week, and this call, continue in your faith in Christ. But I want to look at it, the one that really comes through Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It's an invitation to a faith in Christ that gives strength for today and hope for tomorrow. The background is a sunrise over Tropic Utah. Promise of a new day. Sunrise. The scripture that I put in front of you is this one. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Isn't that an interesting promise? You will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. What a promise. It's faith in Christ Jesus as Lord when all is going well. You feel euphoric and successful. You feel like you can just handle about anything that comes your way. But there's also faith when everything seems to be falling apart. You feel klutzy, lonely, ignorant, overwhelmed by life, and wonder what's going on. You been there? Those days come, don't they? Some of the songs, the lines of the songs that Ben chose talked about those dark times, the valleys. The faith that the scripture invites us to live. It's a faith that chooses daily to follow Christ as our Lord. Continue to follow Jesus just as you accepted him as Lord. The word in the New Testament Greek for that is in a verb tense that either can be second person plural, indicative, active voice, means on and on and on, but it also can be an imperative either way. And so there's an imperative, do it. But there also is the action. We continue day by day, by day, by day, by day, by day. Each day is a new day. A key to accepting Jesus as Lord is repentance. Repentance is more than saying, I'm sorry, I did something wrong. Repentance is turning around to do something right. We correct the wrong by doing the right. We intentionally, deliberately turn to follow Jesus as our Lord, literally every day of our life. It's a new day, a new set of opportunities. Choose daily to follow Jesus. Let your roots grow down into him. Oh, from your biology, you've learned that the root is a part of a plant that grows underground. It gets water from the ground and holds the plant there. Root, you know, in hair. I've already referenced that hair. You know, some of us, the roots aren't very deep. It attaches. To be rooted in Christ is to be rooted in him for sustenance and stability in the midst of life. Build your lives on him is another picture of this faith. Says the Apostle Paul, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Letting Jesus be the cornerstone on which we build our lives. Jesus taught, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. A lot of hearing, a lot of talking. Jesus adds this next line, puts them into practice. It's like a wise man who built his house on rock, solid foundation. Now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow in him. Then your faith will grow strong in the Lord. Strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. This teaching reflects an earlier teaching of Jesus that says, I am the bread of life. This being rooted in is faith in, trust in Jesus as the bread of life, who is the source of eternal life. Jesus taught, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It's my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus. Bread of life. This teaching of Jesus comes on the heels of the story of a miracle in which he fed 5,000 people with five little biscuits and two sardines. The story is told by all four stories about Jesus in the New Testament, but it's John that adds this teaching. It comes from a conversation following that miracle. The people wanted to see more miracles. Jesus redirected their conversation from common bread to spiritual bread that gives eternal life. Eternal life is spiritual life. This is more than ideals. It's a relationship with God that guides us in daily living as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Yes, we live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven in the middle of our world today. It keeps us focused in the midst of confusion and holds us steady in the storms of life. It comes through Jesus Christ. We receive this eternal life through faith in Jesus. The story is interesting. Let me just sort of summarize that story rather than taking time to read it. The people see Jesus after he returns to the shore and comes into their midst, and they start saying, when did you get here? How did you get here? Jesus says, you're not interested in how I got here. You want to see another miracle. Don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Big statement for our understanding of history is that a multitude of people that did turn to Jesus were considered poor, scratching for daily life. 8 to 10 hour workday was not even in their dream. Sun up till sundown. Jesus says to them, I have a gift more significant than fish sandwiches. He says to them, eternal life. So he says, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man will give you. Pursue it. Seek it. Cultivate it. Develop it.
Other people said, we want to perform God's work too. What should we do?
Works. How can we take the little meager bread we have and we'd sure like to multiply that too for us and we'll share it with our neighbor Jesus responds with an interesting answer. The only work God wants from you is to believe in the one he has sent. The only work God wants from you. I thought it was love one another. Jesus is the only. What's he getting at? What's the connection? Friends, you can't follow Jesus as Lord without putting into practice his priorities. If you're trying to believe in Jesus as Lord without putting his teachings into practice, you're missing something. Belief in Jesus follows him as Lord. And Jesus knew that when we put our faith there, we're going to let him begin reshaping how we live. And the people haven't quite caught on yet, so they say, just show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? He just did a miracle. Fed 5,000 people. Show us. Isn't that sort of like us? Oh, that was sort of a nice gift. What else can you give me? We complain about the younger generation and the entitlement complex. Guess where they learned it? Got a blessing yesterday. Oh, thank you, Lord. What are you going to do for me today? Jesus says, God's already done it. God offers you the bread of heaven. And they say, why don't you just give us that bread every day? Jesus says something that, as we read the rest of the story, they didn't like it. Jesus' statements aren't always likable. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And we realize he's going beyond physical bread and water. I will never reject those the Father draws to follow me. God does not want to lose any person who turns to follow me. I will raise you up at the last day. It's my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. That's God's desire. What is the key? Faith. People began doing what we so often do today. They began to murmur. Bread of life? Now, realize some of them knew the hometown he grew up in. They had watched him from about the age of Declan on up. They had seen that little brat. Jesus had some troubled days too. He was like us. He had to grow in wisdom and in stature, favor with God. Learn social skills. He had to learn it. Isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father, his mother. How can he say, I am the bread of heaven? Get real. Then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Anyone who believes in me has eternal life. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. The bread which I offer so that the world may live is my flesh. So now that brings us back to our invitation. Just as you accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you must continue to follow him. So let's put this into some practical application. What can we expect in 2015? Faith in Christ does not promise success and easy days. Faith in Christ is more than a pathway to heaven. Oh, it is that, but it's much more. It's much, much more than that. It plugs us in the power of heaven for engaging in daily life. It empowers us to live as citizens in heaven in the middle of life. It births eternal life in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of God. Eternal life, sort of like the basics of life. It doesn't make life fun. It enables us to deal with life. It's sort of like food. Food doesn't make the tasks of life easier. It fuels us to engage the tasks of life. Think about education. Education doesn't make life simple. Sometimes it makes life seem more complex. But it trains us to handle the complexities. Exercise does not make the stairway or the hills less steep. Does it? It conditions us to climb the hills. Faith does not eliminate storms. It equips us to handle the storms. It's more than just believe. I'm calling you to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. It's not moving ahead. So bump ahead, will you? It's a real challenge. Another word in Scripture. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So here's an invitation. I call you today, renew your faith in Christ. Next week, I want to look at a couple of stories that illustrate this. One of them so well, one of them very sadly.